Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Jason Burmis. He is a researcher, producer, writer, and content creator, best known for the documentaries Loose Change, Fabled Enemies, Shade, and Invisible Empire. Jason, welcome. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing great. It is great to have you on. And you are one of the trailblazing researchers that, in my opinion, really are responsible for waking countless sleeping sheep. And you continue to bring us amazing content and information. And I want to thank you for your work. It's really played a huge role in my awakening and many others as well. So, again, thank you for this. I know I told you this before, but it's really important, the work you're doing. And this is your first time on this show. I'd love for you to tell us how this all started for you, and when did you really first discover the incredible deceptions of our reality?
Oh, well, thank you for the kind words, and I just like to encourage people right off the gates to check out all my documentary films. They're free. I give them away. You can see them in the playlist section on my YouTube, as long as they don't kick me off. We just got back on today. And if you want to follow me on Rockfin, you can find Shade the Motion Picture posted right there at the top. And everything else is also freely available. As far as how did I get into this? You know, that's a really tough one because, you know, as a kid, I was asking questions early on. I didn't quite trust my government. By the time I got into college, which was the late 90s, I graduated high school in 97. I was very much aware of the JFK murder. I had kind of assumed that my government was involved, but that it was a good thing because JFK was probably bad and leading us in the wrong direction. So I guess I was kind of delusional in the sense that the government loved the people and America was number one. And I'd been spoon-fed this, you know, red, white, and blue stuff. We were the best, man. We were a real democracy, you know, all those things that you naively think as a teenager. But at the same time, knowing that people are crooked and people lie to you and that these things do kind of happen. So even when the internet started getting big, some of the first things that I downloaded were the MK Ultra documents. I was very much into UFOs as a kid, as that was the kind of the stuff that was on the outskirts and being promoted in a way by quote unquote mainstream media. But you got to understand the mediascape. From the 80s to the 90s, you know, I'm going to be 43 years old this year, was very different. And, you know, it started out, I had less than 10 channels. There was no DVR. You had to go to a library to get a book and you had to search for the book, you know, forget about when you got to go to a video store and maybe they had your VHS and maybe they didn't. And certainly there was no documentary film section. So really, the UFO stuff for me began, you know, probably about 9 or 10 years old, you know, because obviously I'm thinking E.T. is fake altogether and the aliens aren't real. And then I start seeing that, wow, wait, UFOs seem to be real. And obviously the way the media promoted it, aliens were real, too. So that was always something that caught my attention and I was really, really interested in. So I get all those documents pre 9/11. You know, I read the Majestic 12 documents that many people call a hoax and those types of things. So I'm interested on that level. 9/11 happens. And although I definitely have my questions that morning and in the beginning, I kind of fall into the same narrative. Again, this is the burgeoning moments of the internet. For instance, blogs aren't even big. Like we now everybody thinks it's just instant. There's a few places on social media. There was no social media. Okay, so you really had to go out and search for things. For instance, I was a big pirate even before torrenting. Torrenting didn't come along till about 2004. Really late 90s, I was using peer-to-peer networks like Morpheus and Kazaa and the Nutella and Notella networks and just grabbing. As now I was like, wow, I can get all this stuff. So that's where I was getting most of my documentaries and other things. I was burning them to CDR. And, you know, I probably told this story a million times, but I guess I'll tell it again. The 9/11 thing that really kicked me off was, you know, first of all, I'm an upstate New York guy. And at the time I was in college at a state school where there were plenty of Long Island kids and city kids. And, you know, people who had parents or relatives that worked in the World Trade Center. I had been inside the World Trade Center several times as a kid. I have big time memories of when I used to go visit my great aunt in Flatbush in Brooklyn, and you would get down there. First of all, there was almost nowhere, as long as you were above a certain level, that you could not see the Twin Towers somewhere in the skyline, which was amazing. But when you were up against them, in other words, if you were right there in lower Manhattan, you would look up and you would create kind of a vertigo feel, almost like an inverted vertigo, where you could get sick just kind of looking at it because they kind of come together. And they were just like this powerful symbol. So we get a little bit past the event, and the government is starting to talk about going into Iraq. And at that point, you know, at least I had figured out Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with this. There was definitely a propaganda campaign behind going to the Middle East. But, you know, you naively think that it's, you know, Saddam Hussein bad and, you know, Bush's daddy went after him. And there are those aspects to it for sure. But I'm back in my old high school, which is very small. I graduated with about 54 kids. I had Amish people in my community, just to let you know how small this place is. And the middle school and the high school were one and the same. Okay. And it's 2001. So at this point, a couple of my friends were actually getting ready to teach there. They were graduating college and they were doing their teacher's internship there and, you know, possibly going to be working there. So I went back for a men's night basketball game. And what that is basically the teachers and some of the older students or graduates that's still in the area go in there and they play basketball for like 3-4 hours, right? So I'm at my old high school / middle school where I used to suit up for soccer and basketball and baseball and all these things. And I walk into the urinal to take a piss. And in the pisser is a picture of Osama bin Laden. You can still find these. And it says Operation Enduring Freedom on them. And I thought to myself, wow, this is pretty heavy. I go, you've got 12-year-olds to 18-year-olds pissing on this guy's face on a daily basis. That's a powerful message. And I remember, again, I'm a child of the 80s. And we were still scared of the Cold War. I watched the Challenger blow up on live television in a room with a ton of people. And one of the things we were still afraid of was nuclear war. We used to do the nuclear war drills. So we used to do not the duck and cover under the desks, but the way we would do the drill is we would go into the hallway and we would do duck and cover lined up in the hallway, holding your heads down in that manner. And it just struck me. It's like, man, as a kid, I never pissed on Gorbachev's face. You know, I never went that far. So just something in my brain right then, I go, you know, I know my government had something to do with murdering Kennedy and they lied to me about that. I better find out what's going on. These people are crooked. So I go home. And again, early days of the internet, but both of these websites are still there. All's I want. I'm not typing in 9/11 conspiracy or 9/11 truth or who did really 9/11. Instead, what I want to find is a comprehensive timeline of just everything that happened that day. That's all. So I find this site called 911timeline.net. Still up. 911timeline.net. And it's, if you print it out, and back in the day, I would print it out. Remember, you're on a little small CRT monitor and, you know, it's basically just text anyway, but it was very well sourced. And it had just a little bit of a prologue talking about how much the military industrial complex was spending in the United States compared to all other nations and the black budgets behind it. And then it also showed how the four planes were really, really light on passengers that morning. That if you looked at them, they were well below 50% capacity on the average. Like two of them were right around 50, but the other ones were much, much lower. And right away, that seemed pretty suspicious to me. But hey, I'm just here for a timeline, right? I get through this thing again, like 40. I'm like, what is going on? I'm checking the links, and it's all mainstream news. So then, you know, they kind of allude to the possibility of a stand down. There was a subpage called 911standdown.net. So then I went there And really, it was from that moment on that I decided I was going to get as much raw footage and as much material as I possibly could regarding the subject matter on 9/11, mostly through those file share networks and just searching the internet. Really, that's how I came across the vast amount of the information that you now see me present in documentary films and in videos.
Man, that's really cool. Now, I mean, if you look back at all the major events that shaped our society, you mentioned JFK assassination, you look at things like maybe Boston bombing, Vegas shooting, now one of the biggest of them all, COVID-19. These all have, to me, profound connections and all the same players behind everything when you really look down deep into it. Have you seen some of these profound connections with these events as well?
Well, you know, I have a referral to what I call these people, at least the very, very top of the pyramid, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And that is the predator class. And you have these families of generational wealth. It's almost like super nepotism that have definitely conspired with one another to consolidate power on behalf of what is a very real, quote unquote, New World Order agenda. And especially in the United States, you had what was a military industrial complex come out of World War II that was very different from anything we had ever seen before. It is the creation of Area 51. It is the creation of DARPA. It is the creation of NASA at the same time. It is the creation of things like Bourne Classified. It is bringing in the Nazi ideology, splitting it up with the Russians, and again, creating technology based on that compartmentalized model of the Manhattan Project, the nuclear project, right? So in that sense, you have this group that Eisenhower warns us about, the military-industrial complex. He talks about a scientific elite being able to take over. He talks about it even being a spiritual battle. And then the next president of the United States gets his head blown off in public, right? So I think a lot of that is an extension. I think that when you look at the network and the mechanisms of these people, I think a lot of it was exposed via, for instance, the Iran-Contra scandal, where you had players, for instance, in Israel and the United States and South America. A lot of people don't understand how that worked, but just for people to understand, the Israelis would get the guns from Czechoslovakia and Poland. They would ship the guns down to Central America, where the Sandinistas would get them. Then we would take the guns and other, drugs and other contraband up. We would go to Florida, but Mena, Arkansas was a main spot while Clinton was governor. Okay. So that's how he kind of gets into this Bush network, because Bush at the time is the head of the Central Intelligence Agency and a longtime spook, even though they'd like you to believe that he had nothing to do with the Central Intelligence Agency before that, despite the fact that his dad helped found it out of the OSS with a bunch of Nazis prior, you know, no big deal. And basically, they would sell the drugs in the United States, and then that money would then go back to the Israelis, and it would be this cycle of plausible deniability, right? Yeah. And one of the really interesting things that's forgotten about in the reporting on Epstein is that when Alex Acosta, who cut him that sweetheart deal in 2007 and 2008, in that case in Palm Beach, he was publicly asked after it had been reported in the media that Epstein was above his pay grade and intelligence, and that's why he got the deal. He didn't deny it. He just said he was aware of the story and don't believe everything you see in the media. And then he had to resign 2 days later. And then it also came out that one of Epstein's major associates that hadn't been named was Adnan Khashoggi. Khashoggi is synonymous with arms dealing, and especially in that era of the Iran-Contra affair. Okay, that's what people need to understand. You know, even when we talk about Prince Andrew, you know, there's been a big deal made this past week that he got stripped of all his royal credentials and his military credentials. Andrew's main job was to be an arms dealer for the United Kingdom for many, many years, and also had those associations with Epstein. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think this network is very real. I think there's a lot of deceptions out there. I think there's a lot of bad information in the sense that people, you know, see something or a meme or get behind what is really like a whisper campaign of misinformation. I think UFOs and aliens are absolutely part of that whisper campaign that have gone over the top. You know, I'm not saying there's nothing else out there, but I am going to tell you that at least 99.999% of everything that you see out there or think is alien is simply black technology that's been developed at these sites like Area 51. And it goes well beyond just propulsion technologies and craft technologies into literal transhuman eugenics on living, breathing human beings that they've made into other things.
Jeez, man. Yeah, that's the, we could go so many directions from there, but I want to go back to 9/11 for a minute. I don't want to spend too much time on 9/11 because there's a lot of important things that are happening right now that I want to get to. But based on your research, do you see ritualistic aspects to it? I mean, they have the plane numbers were supposedly based on Thelemic occult numbers, the symbolism with the towers, aspects of ritual sacrifice. I mean, what do you think?
It's a tough one, man. I mean, again, you look at the history of these people and, you know, a lot of them act like they're Christian conservatives, you know, especially at the time that I was waking up to the fact that I'd been lied to on a massive level. And you take the Bush dynasty, for instance, you know, George Bush Senior, he was synonymous with the war on drugs. He looked like a dorky Christian conservative. All you ever heard about is how he was right wing and he was for God and all those type of things. And then his son, you know, gets in there and it's kind of the same bag, right? He's got all the same administrators, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz. And then you find out that generationally, these guys are going to a grove in Sonoma, California, where the opening ritual is a thing called the cremation of care in front of a 40-foot owl god, where if you watch the ritual, which you know, these people are dressed up in pagan or druidic type garb. There's a high priest, death rows in on a boat and then hands the effigy of a baby, which represents care, okay, to be sacrificed on this altar. And basically what that means, and they're very open about it. I have 8 of 10 of their actual annals, their internal documents. I can tell you when they adopted the owl. I can tell you who brought it there. Uncle George Bromley. He also has a book out there about his life where he talks about all these things. In fact, you know, he was like beloved by these guys. So, you know, they started out as a group of movers and shakers, artisans in that area, and then were kind of overtaken by the elite class on the West Coast. And then throughout the United States, it's turned into a 2-week encampment. It's all male and they pledge their allegiance to each other and each other's goals, basically. And they don't care who they step on. And that is what this cremation of care really means. It's like, look, you might have shit on some people. You might have done some bad stuff, but it's okay. We're all together. It's a party for 2 weeks. Let's figure out how we're going to fuck everybody over the next year and just toss the baby on the barrel and burn it up. And so when you get into that aspect of it, first of all, it's very sociopathic, but it is indeed rooted in the occult. And look, I always say this. I'm not a religious guy. One of the things that Eisenhower talked about, he talked about this being a spiritual battle. At the end of these guys, the day, no matter what you believe, these people want to take the evolution of humanity into a transhumanist nature where human beings really no longer exist. And that's very scary. And when you see the inversion of reality that we're currently living in this COVID-1984 nightmare, all I can really say about that is whether you believe in the devil or not, that is satanic. That is exactly what it is. And by the way, I don't necessarily believe in the devil or somebody red, or I'm not here to Bible thump to you, because I always tell people like this. I've been doing this for a very long time. I've been, you know, putting out films since 2005, researching this stuff really in some aspects since I was a kid. And I barely have a grasp on what has taken place in the last 42 years that I've been on this planet. Forget about 100 years ago, or then we get to 1,000 years ago and what history is there. I always say this. Inherently, I realize that there are certain things in the universe that have universal laws, hence universal laws. I believe that things like the law of attraction are actually extremely real, but you have to work towards those goals. You can't just imagination board it. And the one force that I see embattled all the time is that of good versus evil. Those two things exist. Beyond that, I'm not sure. And I know that I'm not going to be a betrayer to my species, to humanity in general. And I'm not perfect. I'm going to fail. I've done some bad shit in my life. But I try to do good. I try to empower others because all this technology, right, from the craziest DARPA nanotech to a hammer, it can be used to empower humanity or enslave them. It can be used to build homes or bash heads.
Yep, right on, man. Yeah, you're completely right about that. Now, if you look at the world we live in today, say you've been in a coma since before 2020, maybe 2019, you fell into a coma and you woke up now. I mean, me, I would think I was living in some sort of hell dimension. You know, it's absolutely nuts how fast things have changed and how fast they've run with these insane agendas that they've been pushing since 2020. I mean, bluntly, when did you realize COVID was an op?
Go watch my videos. Look, man, I got over 2,000 plus videos over on YouTube, despite the fact that they're totally censoring me. And they probably took down about 15 to 20 in the COVID related area that were totally proven right. Some I didn't even get strikes for. Some I've battled and they actually had to put back up. I'll say this. In January, in the very beginning, I did not think we were going to get to this point at all. I was joking about it on my channel. I was telling people I would buy them a Corona beer, and it was funny to me. And then by the end of January, early February, and I saw things starting to ramp up, I'm like, okay, well, now I have to start covering this because this is not going away. Then I went to DC in February, okay? And all of a sudden I saw food shortages and I saw shelves being emptied, and I was there for an Action for Assange event, okay? So totally unrelated to COVID. I'm an upstate New York guy at the time, and I see that this is happening. And you can go watch, and actually, this is kind of where I reunite with Alex Jones. We hadn't seen each other in a decade. And it just so happened while I was there, he was doing like a last minute, quote unquote, First Amendment event with a bunch of other people at a hotel. So I went and just booked a hotel over there, and you can go watch my videos on that as well. It was right before CPAC. Okay. And at the time, I just started feeling bad, by the way. I think that I was infected with COVID all the way back in November 19. I don't believe in the lab theory. I think this was seeded. I think it began being seeded around the world in October. And there is more than enough evidence for that, but that's here nor there. So after I saw all this happening in DC, I was like, this is on. They're going to lock us down. This is real. And you can go watch my videos of me driving home from DC, telling people to get their parents out of the nursing homes right now, because that's where the most death was going to occur. Okay. And then, you know, I didn't get everything right, especially, you know, I thought they might pull the trigger hard on us. I was in New York. I thought they might ward off the city and lock them down hard, you know, and bring in the military. They did bring in the military, but I had no idea. I don't think that these people have problem with death tolls. You know what I'm saying? And their policies show that in retrospect. But you can go watch myself and James Corbett. And I just reached out to James Corbett yesterday. We're going to be having him back on the program on the 30th. And I think that me and James talking for about an hour and a half, about 80 to 90% of what we talked about came true. And this was in March of 2020. And, you know, I love James to death. He's done a ton of great work. And one of the things that we kind of focused on was this was going to be a slow rollout. I said, this is kind of going to be like a 9/11 meets the stock market crash of 29. Equals COVID-19. And he goes, I'm going to take a step further. He goes, equals COVID-1984. And, you know, James may have actually coined that term. I just want to put that out there. For me, I had to get out of New York. I knew that, you know, like no matter what was happening, New York was going to be bad. When I was in my small upstate New York college town, and the madness had been going on for less than a month, right? March, I think about 15th, around there, were the first lockdowns and wear a mask and all that. And I saw metal signs on my main street, metal signs that said, please wear a mask. And they meant outside. And that was it. I go, they're not asking for a week. They just put up metal signs. So everything was closed at the time. I didn't even have a car. You know, I was able to kind of like walk around. And if I needed to get anywhere, it wasn't a big deal. You know, my last car had broken down, so I wasn't even thinking about it. And I immediately said, I need to get out of here. I need to find another state. South Dakota was getting some good press in the media. So I had made a decision that I was going to get a car. I was going to drive across the country, start in New Hampshire, actually, in the live free or die state, and go visit some friends. It just so happened that so funny. Right before I went, the day before I was leaving, Ghislaine Maxwell got arrested there. So we went out to her hideout the next day. So you can watch that also. It's on my channel. We go to the Tucked Away. But I basically what I did is I bought a car. I had to wait till almost July to leave because the DMVs were closed all the way almost till through June. So I couldn't even register the vehicle. And I went to Ohio and Missouri and, of course, New Hampshire, like I said. I stayed in South Dakota outside of Sioux Falls. And then I came back through and Iowa is where I found. And that's this has been a blessing. You know, my sister and her two kids came with me. They're able to go to school. They're not wearing masks. They're able to be around people that aren't wearing masks. On the Iowa side here, I go to the bar. I go to Hooters. No one's wearing a mask. There's still people out there. Like, you know, I go get my morning coffee and you still got about, you know, 5 people out of 20 in there wearing a mask. And the other thing is that it's being enforced by the corporations. So you walk into a mom and pop shop, none of them are wearing masks. But then if you walk into a Walmart or a Target, et cetera, those people still have to wear masks. It is somewhat, you know, like you said, it's a dystopic nightmare. But I'm trying to navigate it the best I can. And I found a place where at least people are fighting back and at least fighting back for their kids. And the other thing is, despite the despotic, disgusting, disturbing, anti-human Supreme Court decision of 5-4 that you can, if you're a health worker or in a healthcare facility, basically, you can be injected with hate and lies because these aren't vaccines. I mean, they had to change the definition. These are literally DARPA-driven therapeutics, mRNA technology, or vector-based tech. They are not, I repeat, not vaccines. So they just ruled that you just call anything you want a vaccine, mandate it if you're in there, or you can be fired from your job. That's disgusting. That is disgusting. Here, they're not, they banned that. Even the OSHA people, you can't do that to healthcare workers here. There are some bad loopholes. I don't like that at all, okay? But overall, the OSHA mandate wasn't going down here. They took the masks off of kids. I found a place where people are fighting back. And the media is really not talking about Iowa at all, if you notice. There's only 3 million of us here. That's another way to marginalize us. The other cool thing about this area is about 15 minutes from where I live is the largest truck stop in the world. Well, what does that mean? That means the entire supply chain runs through 15 minutes from here. So no matter what happens, it will be extremely difficult to cut this area off from resources.
Right, man. That's very interesting, and it's good to know about Iowa. And I'm sure there's plenty other rural areas that would be, you know, more appealing than city areas now because they're trying to herd everybody into those big cities. But
well, that's funny because listen, I'm in the Quad Cities, man. Mm. So I'm in here's the funny thing. I'm on the Mississippi River. Okay. So I can get in my car right now, and in 5 minutes, I am in Illinois, actually. I just drive over the Mississippi River, and they're beholden to Chicago, just like New York is beholden to New York City. So I tried doing Christmas shopping there. I got kicked out everywhere because I would not wear a mask, and I would not bend the knee. And those kids are totally being tortured. And so there's about 500,000 people between these four counties. In fact, if you've seen American Pickers, that is the area in Iowa that we're from. And then there's Rock Island and East Moline. And it's, I mean, the Stockholm syndrome is real on that side. Some people are frustrated, but not as much on the Iowa side, where we said, no, that's enough. We're not going to be beholden to anything. So yeah, it's great, because in my little area, I think it's about 34,000, but Davenport's got a couple hundred thousand people. But you drive 15 minutes out, and all of a sudden you can be in the country too. And even though you are in city areas or in, you know, suburbia and things like that, your neighbors here are really your neighbors. You know, they're not a bunch of judgmental, like, idiocracy type people. You know, they're actually people that'll have a conversation with you. I mean, there's still some people out there, man. I went to my niece's recital, Christmas recital, right? Awesome school system here too, on top of it. Just a really cool area. I'm very glad I moved here. She's up there with about 50 to 75 kids. I counted. There were still 13 kids up there in masks. And I'm looking around, and we're in an auditorium literally with 500 to 1,000 people easily. You know what I mean? And those kids are right next to each other, touching one another. They're playing instruments. Like, you know, what are you doing to your child? Like, this is insanity. And there's still, I mean, and no matter where you go right now, you're going to have to deal with some insanity, and you're going to have to navigate it. And I just encourage people not to give up on others, because, you know, they don't know they're totally lost. They still believe the lie. They think this is about their health. They don't understand this is a pre-planned takeover that has literally been generational and put into play by that military-industrial complex with a driven timeline, by the way. You know, one document that I've really been hammering home, and I think people need to see this, is a NASA document called Future Strategic Issues, Future Warfare 2025. This was published in July of 2001. Dennis Bushnell, who was the chief scientist and still the chief scientist at NASA Langley Research Center, went on a PowerPoint presentation with this. And to let you know how much that they knew this was going to happen and how much this was in play, and it doesn't matter who you vote for, and this is really behind the scenes, they knew that the bio-nano revolution was not only coming, but the bio-nano era would begin in 2020. Now, they don't know how long it's going to last, but notice the metaverse is being pushed. And virtual is next. Do you notice they also injected billions of people with bio nanotech in 2020? I mean, literally injected billions of people. Let me show you something else. When you thought they didn't know, oh, well, look at this. Telecommuting, shopping, entertainment, travel, education, medicine. That's a big push right now. Commerce, politics. All of a sudden, you don't have to show up for congressional and Senate hearings, and socializations. This document is 113 pages of a layout for what they wanted to do even pre-9/11 and knew they were going to do to us. They joke about this. None of this is pixie dust to them, by the way. This isn't a joke. I mean, you look at it, this is all based on existing data, trends, analysis, and technologies, e.g. no pixie dust. They talk about putting bio-nanotech in the food. They talk about CNN syndrome. In this document, they talk about Trojan horse civilian systems, psychological warfare, not to mention the bots and Borgs of the future. They welcome you to 2025. What people really need to understand is this plan coming to fruition is less than 36 months away, all the way.
Now, do you think that they're sticking with this timeline? I mean, they are moving fucking fast with a lot of this stuff. Booster after booster. People are waking up. People are becoming hip to this shit. And I don't know what else can they throw at us? They got Omicron. What else are they going to do to speed this up? Do you think they're moving too fast? You think they're making mistakes?
No, they're not making any mistakes. They're playing. Listen, who's been brought to justice? Who's going to jail? They got camps in westernized countries. They got the populace fighting each other. They got families divided, you know, more than they've ever seen, than we've ever, ever seen. So when you look at this, they tell you what's going to happen. All right. They absolutely show you right here when they want to exploit CNN syndrome. Now, CNN syndrome, they actually refer to it several times in the document, but this was birthed after the Gulf War, and they saw how they could exploit the media. Notice it says capture, torture Americans in living color on prime time. Terror attacks within the continental United States. It's pre-9/11. And then they say binary, biological. Oh, did we just get hit with a bioweapon? Notice how that's coming out now, but it's a lab leak. It's not an animal or a pangolin. Critical infrastructure takedown. It says IOIW, EMP, RF against brainwaves. What IOIW means, internet warfare, okay? That means the cyber pandemic we're hearing about. And what does it say right there underneath? Serious psychological warfare, collateral damage exploitation. They haven't exploited all these deaths that they caused by releasing their bioweapon and withholding treatments that work. I mean, this is the blueprint, bro. This guy, Dennis Bushnell, I have him on camera in a video I would encourage everybody to go check out. It is something that really needs to be seen if you've never seen it. Because Dennis Bushnell, in a Blue Tech Forum speech, you can go find it over at the Rockfin, he talks about all this stuff integrated. So this is what the guy looks like that wrote this, where they had already put, this is in 2010, so about 9 years after that document, already put brain chips in 10,000 plus people. We don't know what humans are going to be doing in the future. There's nothing the robots won't be able to do by 2025. He says that sustainability is a code word for the degradation of the standard of living by Westerners, and that it's not coming back. He tells you productivity is really a code word for automation and robotization of everything. He tells you in this speech, they will implement population control that quote unquote changes everything. And in here, they say the same thing. They call it population stabilization. So let's bring that up for the folks.
Oh, yeah.
Right here. So they're going to do a stabilization of the world population. And notice it, altered political military outlooks worldwide, i.e. changes everything. And when Bushnell talks about the population stabilization, right? He talks about it changing everything. And take a look at this, okay? They talk about their psychological warfare, their internet warfare right here. They talk about the population of the colonized states. They talk about Trojan horse civilian systems. Those are the Googles of the world that are really just part of the infrastructure. For instance, most people are unaware that NASA and Google partnered all the way back in 2005. Guys, NASA's not going to the moon and Mars. Admittedly, 20% of their budget and what they do is space exploration. Everything else is what I'm showing you here. Okay. And back in 2019, Google and NASA also partnered to achieve quantum supremacy. If you know anything about quantum supremacy, that is the basis for these AI tools. All right. Bushnell again brags that back in 2010, they had success in uploading, basically remapping the brain in silicon. Now, they'll tell you they're going to upload consciousness. I don't believe any of that. All right. Cheaply replicate what they call consciousness, maybe, but that's what the reality is. All this is now. This is not the future. For instance, in that same document, you know, and this is why I warn people, man, they're not on the run. We better get our shit together so we can put them on the run. They have this down. It is happening now in front of our faces. Okay. And as all this occurs, they're going to push forward. All right. So we have to be ready for all of this stuff. I mean, the brain chip, for instance, let's see if we can bring this up. They tell you here that through their tools and methods for inputs and new procurements, AKA decisions and technology, it takes 15 or so years to produce, but then we hold it in inventory for 40 plus years. All right. I want you to think about that. So they have technology 40 plus years, admittedly. And that's why, you know, Musk is a front man. When he put up Starlink, he put up DARPA's Blackjack at the same time. Most people are not aware of that. But look at that. Oh, Blackjack. He's a DARPA frontman. Neuralink is DARPA tech that has been around for 40 plus years. And now they're trying to sell it to you as a way for people to no longer be depressed. Oh, that is so great. Oh, they're not going to be depressed anymore. Does this woman look like she's doing well? An overweight woman gardening with a mask on in the sun? She's got a brain chip. She must be doing great. And they tell you it's going to be for PTSD. Musk himself, the most money he makes with SpaceX. Again, it's not about you going to Mars or any of that bull. He is in a contract where he can deliver military cargo anywhere in the world in an hour. So, I mean, yeah, that's right. Hal, that's what they want. Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'm out here kicking and screaming and letting everybody know that's what the end game of this. It don't get me wrong. They want their social credit score. They've already got their track trace database. They want their world government. But it goes well beyond that. They are trying to bring in a subspecies of humans that's totally under control by a super species of humans that utilizes this technology while they try to trick us into a virtual environment. They show you that's where we're at. So let me just explain to people where we are at and why we should fight, because this is where they get to, where they don't know. They don't know how long this lasts. They're shooting for 2025, right? For having everything, but they don't know how long the bio nano era is going to last before they get to the full virtual era, which they are trying to achieve. Okay. So now's the time to fight more than ever. You know, again, they might know by now because this document is literally from July of 2001, but this gives me hope. You know, this is something that if anybody reads it, the first thing that people try to say is they try to discredit it and think it's a hoax, right? They look at the graphic and they're like, yeah, dude, NASA, who's so supposedly fix everything. They couldn't. I go, dude, it's a PowerPoint probably put together by Bushnell in 2001. That's not even contested. Even the debunkers on their pages acknowledge that this is a real document. This one's 113 pages. There's also a Reader's Digest, 48 pages version. If you can find anything of Bushnell speaking, it overlaps with this tremendously. So there's no doubt this is real. This is the blueprint for transhumanism. And, you know, I've been going over another document that's out there. Anybody can go and check this out. It's published on RAND's own website, and it is Brain-Computer Interfaces. Me and Jay Dyer spent about an hour on this one, and the RAND Corporation in general. And if you think transhumanism's not real and that brain chips are the only thing they got, they talk about non-invasive brain-computer interfaces via nanotechnology and magnetic waves. We are here.
Now, I want to go back to one of the aspects and agendas going on here. You mentioned population control. With this vaccine, I've already seen more deaths than I would expect. I see, you know, athletes dropping dead of heart attacks. I see people that I know, my friends and family, friends of theirs dropping dead. This is moving faster than I expected when it comes to the onset effects of whatever the hell they're putting in this thing. Within a year, I'm wondering, you know, could this depopulation aspect really be kicking in, you know?
Look, you know, I try to remain somewhat positive, but I'll just stress this. This is Defense Department driven from the very, very beginning. Let me show everybody this. Now, I was highlighting this about 6 months ago, and it was still on their website. DARPA, okay, this is the Defense Department that has no obligation to tell you the truth ever. Think about it right now. When was the last time the Defense Department was straight with the people? Were they straight with you about Iraq? Were they straight with you about 9/11? Were they straight with you about weapons of mass destruction? Were they straight with you about anthrax? Were they straight with you about Syria? Are they straight with you about Yemen? I could continue. So DARPA partners with Moderna. Now, Glenn Beck and all these people are starting to talk about 2015. No, 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 no. They partnered in 2013. Okay. To combat, I want everybody to understand this, emerging infectious diseases and engineered biological weapons. Even in the cases of a pathogen or infection agent is unknown. So they could deploy mRNA, which wasn't even vaccines then. They used to call them therapeutics. Okay. So they took that down, but still on their site, not found anymore. Uh-oh. That the other people that they partnered with via the mRNA research to treat rare diseases and cancer, and by the way, pandemics were also in there. Oh, it's DARPA. It's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It's AstraZeneca. It's all the big players. Now, let's see if this actually pulls up, because it always, well, it did. Look at that. Fantastic. In the headline, as they were selling this to investors, Moderna snags $25 million DARPA grant to fight pandemics with mRNA drugs. All the way back in 2013, they partnered with them. This is Defense Department tech. Why would you ever inject it when in the Australian trials, okay, they literally had to stop it after people were testing HIV positive. Now, months before that, some researchers warned COVID-19 shots could increase the risk of HIV infection because people like Luc Montagnier and others had discovered that there were certain proteins that were parts of HIV. Hence, it was created in a lab. All of this is mainline. Anybody can look this stuff up. And here it is. Australia halts local COVID-19 vaccine development due to false HIV positive. So they took the shot and all of a sudden they were testing positive for HIV. I want to remind people that Bayer injected many, many people in the 80s in the United States. And then when they got caught in the United States, they went to Europe and Japan with HIV. They injected them with a drug called Factor VIII, hemophiliacs, many of them children. And they paid out millions of dollars in these cases. Nobody ever went to jail. And they admit to tens of millions of euros to hemophiliacs in the 80s. Let me repeat that. A private company that is in business today that partnered with Monsanto and is heavily invested in by Bill Gates injected people in the 80s with live HIV and no one went to jail.
Man, well, while we're talking about HIV, Fauci's been committing genocide, it seems, for a long time, and it looks more and more likely that he might be the cause of AIDS-related deaths, right?
Once again, it's almost a microcosm of what we're seeing today on a global level, just with the infection rates, is that he pushed a cancer drug on poor people called AZT that in no way worked. And as you can see, here's the other big thing about HIV. You know, a lot of people out there don't understand. You know, we have to first understand there's a reason why Magic Johnson survived. There were people dropping dead in that era, and everybody was scared. By the way, they scared us with a hemophiliac kid named Ryan White, who they said caught HIV from a blood transfusion. Was it a blood transfusion? Or was he also on Factor VIII? Do we really know that? So I know this is going to astonish some people, but in 1996, if you were rich and you could afford about $70,000 to $100,000 a year, usually in the $80,000 range, they didn't give you AZT. Okay. They gave you something else. And a guy named David Ho, let's see. I want to say he was the man of the year. There it is right there. Okay. This guy was the man of the year. Right here behind me. Let's see. Well, let's open it up in a new tab so everybody can see it. Oh, here it is. And oh, really, you're going to do that to me? Until 2014, this man was Time's only medical person of the year. Why? He cured HIV. He basically brought it to undetectable levels if you had money. Here he is. Everybody can still go and read that article. I mean, look, it's right there. I mean, you might have to pay for it or go to the Wayback Machine. But he was the man of the year. Again, in 96, before I graduated high school. And now, you know, it's kind of like they have these type of drugs. The protease inhibitors back in the day, you would basically have to take a cocktail of drugs every 6 hours. So four times a day on a regimen, you have to wake yourself up. And now a lot of these pills are one times a day. There's also a great paradox to this, because just like with this COVID-1984 nightmare, it's hard to find out whether or not you actually have this with all the false positives and the different types of testing, et cetera, right? Same thing with HIV. There's a great movie out there called House of Numbers on the whole HIV fiasco and how having HIV may mean different things in different areas. So I just want to point out there are a lot of parallels, especially in the realm of corruption via HIV and Fauci, and what we see now with Fauci and just this global system of COVID-1984 medical martial law tyranny.
Yes, for sure, 100%. Now, for the last few minutes we have, I want to talk about the metaverse transhuman aspect of what's going on here, because this is where a lot of people check out. They're like, oh, they're not trying to make us into robots or anything. Well, they kind of are. And you could see where the aspects they're pushing of everybody stay home, plug into the metaverse, and just fucking stay there. Don't worry about anything. Don't go outside. You'll catch the COVID AIDS, you know. So what are some of the most profound aspects you see of this that we should be paying attention to? And, you know, how far do you think that they're going to take this thing?
Go watch Upload. It's like Black Mirror, but funny. So if most people out there probably have Amazon Prime, right? It's big. And there's a series out there called Upload. And basically a populace in the very, very near future, the poor class are in pod-like dormitories. They are eating printed food, and they believe that they can upload their consciousness to a tiered virtual reality. Okay, so this tiered virtual reality, it depends on how much money you have, whether or not you're even going to be in a good spot in this virtual reality when they upload you. And like when you watch the first episode and you see how they upload you, I'm going to ruin it. This is a big spoiler. They murder you. they literally take your entire head and they just vaporize it. So it's not like you're cryogenically frozen or anything like that. That's how you're uploaded. And unfortunately, I think that it takes place in like 2032 or 2033, like 10 or 11 years in the future. I would encourage people to go watch that series, because I think a lot of it has to do with what they're trying to bring in rather rapidly. And all you need to do is watch Westworld for the blueprint of how they want society. Westworld explores aspects of transhumanism, simulations like no other show, but it really gets interesting in the third season when they leave the park and you see what the world looks like and you see how it's centralized by AI. Everybody is drugged up and chipped and on a social credit score. And they're social distancing, and they're working with robots, and they're wearing masks. This thing aired on March 15th, 2020, before any of the lockdowns in the United States, and probably was shot a year plus before. And one of the opening scenes is the main character sitting there in a job interview with a bunch of other people socially distanced with a guy in a mask in the back. So, you know, that's just one of the predictive programming aspects of this. It is real. I hate to tell you. Please go read that document. It tells you it's real. And you can go watch, for instance, anywhere you're watching TV or even on YouTube, you can't get away from that Phoenix school commercial, the animated one of the single mom that's really strong. And if you haven't seen it, they got the Cranberries song and everything's changing every day in every possible way. And she's sitting there and everybody's getting fired and the robots are coming in. And by the end of the commercial, well, it's okay. She got her degree from Phoenix University, and it's literally her by herself in a giant room of servers.
Yeah, man, it's completely insane to see what's going on. And to me, the solution, the easiest solution to all this is just to not participate. And I hopefully more and more people are just not going to participate in the future that they have planned. But unfortunately, the programming is real. The brainwashing is real. It's worked too well. And, you know, I unfortunately have many close family members that are deep in it. I mean, we just had the holidays and I had family members that forced half of the family to stay outside while the other half stayed inside that were vaccinated. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, the division that's happened right now. I mean, in your eyes, is there any other solutions? You know, I think that would be a good way to close out.
You know, my solutions are you're going to have to figure out how to navigate this. And at the same time, yeah, stop buying into their system in every way possible. We're all going to be hypocrites on some level. But the baseline for me is you're not going to poison me or willfully inject me with hate and lies. I am not going to become transhuman. I am going to fight this tooth and nail. I am going to try to find ways to expose their system. And I think that's what we have to do, right? We have to find other like-minded people. We have to have empathy for those that are not getting it. But at the same time, you can't save everybody and you're not going to be able to save everybody. And if you go watch my film, Shade the Motion Picture, which is free and it's pinned right now over at Rockfin, you will see somebody was warning you about the eugenicists and the people that wanted population control all the way back in 2013. That has a 20-minute section on Bill Gates and his associates all the way back then. So, you know, once again, man, I think that we're all going to have to navigate this. I don't think, look, we get one shot at the title. That's what I don't think people really get, because we're all kind of in this hypnotic state of entertainment where we've seen Back to the Future, or you get to go relive your life, or maybe you believe in reincarnation, or maybe you believe you're going to be able to upload your stuff, all that stuff. Oh, people have certain religious beliefs that they think, you know, that they're going to be a certain place. I do believe we have what is called, quote unquote, a soul, whether it's a soul or not, but it's eternal energy, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm coming back around. So I know what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for humanity. I know that this ride is going to end at some point, but the people at the top, they don't think the ride ends. They think they're going to be able to live forever. They think they're going to be able to be immortal on this technology. And I encourage people to go check out people like Ray Kurzweil, who again, was brought in by Google over a decade ago for a company called Calico, which is literally their immortality division. And he's a guy that's talked about bio nanotech in your brains, just roving around for years, among many other things. This is a battle for you, your family, and humanity's very soul. And I think that people need to treat it that way. And they have to be aware of what's going around them, again, so they can navigate it the best that they possibly can.
Yeah, that's very well said. Jason, I want to thank you so much for coming on. That's fantastic information. I definitely want to have you back on in the future. There's a lot more that I think we need to cover that's very important. Before you head out, let everyone know, if they don't already, what's the best way to find you, website, social media. I know you're on Rockfin as well. We'll have all those links in the description as well, too.
So, all the documentary films are free. Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order to Find, and Shade the Motion Picture. You can follow me at Jason Burmis. And by the way, right now on Twitter and other places, we're going to be announcing it, but it's announced here. If you want to be on the show, you can upload a 10 to 30 second video with a question or comment. And we're going to be doing, I think, this Friday, a broadcast where we air those videos, your comments, your questions, and we're going to answer those questions. It's going to be like a new super chat feature, and you can just post that video right here under my pinned tweet. We're completely and fully uncensored over at Rockfin. I would encourage you to check me out there. That's where you can find most of my stuff, as I am suspended frequently on YouTube and have had the channel taken. But at the same time, we're back on YouTube today, and there also is a playlist section with Invisible Empire just here on the top where you can see all those films as well. So follow me on Twitter. I'm also on Getter at the same name, and we're trying to expand here, but it's tough in this very real censorship COVID 1984 nightmare.
Yes, it is. It is very tough. But man, thank you for the work you're doing. Keep on keeping on, and we will definitely talk again in the future, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yes. Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll be talking again tomorrow.